firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than
It was Augustine of Hippo, a theologian from 800 AD, who saw the need to say to the early church, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. It seems that agreement on doctrine and Christian behavior has been an issue for as long as we've gathered together as a church. We're in the closing sections of the magnificent book of Romans in our Bible bus journey this week. Today we'll move from Paul's doctrinal section of Romans to his more personal notes. So turn in your copy of God's Word to Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 4. Now, with a minute or two before the study begins, I usually do share some letters with you from the Bible bus, from North America as well as around the world. But this time, it's always a blessing as we hear firsthand how the Word of God is bearing fruit in our generation. But do you ever wonder why we never hear letters from some areas of the world where Through the Bible broadcasts? Well, this doesn't mean people aren't listening, but it does mean that something else hinders communication. For instance, Pashto is one of those language broadcasts from which we rarely receive a letter. Let me tell you about TTB's ministry in the Pashto language. Pashto is spoken in Afghanistan and western Pakistan and some parts of India. About 50 million people speak Pashto around the world. In 2002, in connection with our partner ministry TWR, Through the Bible began production of the Pashto language program. Well, it now airs throughout Afghanistan and surrounding areas by shortwave radio. If you want to be used by God to take His whole word to the whole world, would you pray today for the fruitfulness of the Pashto broadcast? Pray that as God's word is heard in this culturally restricted country, streams of living water would flow in the desert. It can happen. God's word says that God is not willing that any person would perish, but that all would come to faith. So we pray for this every day on our world prayer team. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing in every country on earth, then join us on your knees. You can find out more online at ttb.org/pray. And let's do that now. Heavenly Father, we ask that your grace and love would fill the hearts of those who hear our Pashto broadcast today, that they might turn to you in faith and find the joy of a relationship with you. May that message of grace reach everyone who hears your word taught today, including us right now. In Jesus' strong name we pray. Amen. Now here's our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, taking us through the Bible.
Now I trust you have your notes and outlines as well as your Bible, and we'll turn with us here to Romans 15:4. In the notes. And also, I'd like to mention again, especially now that we're getting ready to conclude the Epistle to the Romans, we have two volumes on Romans. The title is Reasoning Through Romans. We'll be delighted to send the two books to you and to those who support the program. That is, you send a gift to the program. Now, that does not apply to notes and outlines. If you'd like to be on our mailing list to receive notes and outlines and go through the Bible with us in 5 years, just write in and ask for the notes and outlines. We'd be delighted to send them to you. And then the next book, and that book will be 1 Chronicles. We go back and take up 1 and 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. Now, if you'd like to have them and you're not on our mailing list, write in and ask for these new ones, and they will be mailed to you, and you'll have them in time to begin with us in 1 Chronicles. Now we've come here in verse 4 of chapter 15 to a new section. In fact, now we're actually leaving the section that has to do with separation, and we've seen the three great principles of separation, that whatever we do, we are to do it with enthusiasm. That's the way of the child of God. And we're to be persuaded in our own mind that this is it. And then another test is we are not to condemn ourselves in that which we allow. And if you do something and your conscience rebukes you and you feel guilty, then that's wrong. Now, I don't care what it is. And then the other is that we should take in consideration other believers, because We don't want to offend them, and that'd be the weak brother. Now, Paul begins to talk about the fact that Jews and Gentiles in one body are there to glorify God. And what we have here in verse 4 is this: for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, the Old Testament, therefore, does have a definite application to believers today. Now, if you've listened to our program, you know I've shared letters from time to time of folk who wrote, and the sense of the letter was this: I never knew that the Old Testament was so practical. I never knew that it had such meaning for us today. I never knew that it spoke of Christ as it does. Well, the Old Testament, you see, is for our comfort. And Paul says here, these things were written in the old time for our learning. And I would say the greatest sin in the church today of Jesus Christ is ignorance of the Word of God. And I think it's tragic, and I've heard this so many times. A deacon says, well, you know, I don't know much about the Bible. Why don't you? These things were written for time for your learning. God wants you to know His Word. You mean that you can boast as a deacon of the church that you're ignorant of the Word of God? You mean that you occupy an office in the church, or that you are busy in the church, that you are doing things in the church and you're ignorant of the Word of God? Well, you better get busy. I think that's the great sin of the hour. Now, Paul says these things were written for your learning. And what will it do for you? Well, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, the only way in the world that you can find any comfort today in this world and any patience today is in the Scriptures. And the only place that you're going to find any hope, you won't find any hope in the papers. You don't find any hope in modern literature today. Look at modern art. Look in any field today and see if you see any hope. Listen to modern music, my friend. Is there any hope today? None whatsoever. It's dark and dismal when you look out at this world. The only place you can find hope is in the Word of God. I think that one of the most interesting things is I was up in the state of Washington, and it rained and rained and rained, and it rained some more. Oh, I tell you, how dark and dismal the days were. Then we went over to the airport, and it's still raining. And we got on the plane, and the plane took off, went up through all those clouds. And in a few moments, we just broke out into the light, and the sun was shining up there. Oh, how beautiful it was. And less than a mile up, the sun was shining. And here we were living like a bunch of gophers down there in all of that rain. Now, my friend, don't misunderstand me, because people in Washington are going to hear this program, and I'm going to hear from them. But very frankly, they need all that rain up there for those beautiful, lovely trees. But I've been in Southern California too long. I love the sunshine. And it was wonderful to get up there. Now, there are a great many Christians today that are staying down here beneath the cloud. The Lord says, come on up here where the sunshine of hope is shining today. And that's what the Bible will do for you. It's the only thing that will do this for you, my friend. Now, you'll notice here, he says that in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, when we were studying about David, I got more letters from folk, and I met more people that said, oh, what an encouragement, what a help to me David was. And one party said to me, they were going through a very dark period in their life. They said, that came at the right moment. It delivered me probably from suicide about David. Well, that's the reason God wrote that, friends. After all, he put David's sin on display. That wasn't very nice. But God, you know, paints mankind just as he is. But that was written for our learning. Everything in the Old Testament, friends, is written for our learning and to give us patience and to give us comfort and bring hope into our lives. That's the purpose. Now, verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. Now, Paul pauses here, as it were, to pray that the blessings which are channeled only through the Word of God might have their effect upon both Jews and Gentiles in the body of Christ. Not that they should see eye to eye with each other on meats and drink, because they won't, but that they might demonstrate that they are one in love and in consideration one of another. Verse 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there should be here a harmony in their praise that they reveal the unity of believers. You know, they tell the old story, when I was a boy out in West Texas, we had a Methodist church on one corner, we had a Baptist church on another corner, and we had a Presbyterian church on the other corner. And they said one night, why, the Methodists were singing, "Will there be any stars in my crown?" And the Presbyterians were singing, "No, not one, no, not one." And the Baptist was singing, "Oh, that will be glory for me." Well, now, you know, that's just a story. I don't think it ever worked out really that way. But actually, it looks like that. But frankly, all three of them, if they're believers, whether they're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, if they're really believers, and just to be one of these doesn't make you a believer, by the way. But if you're a real believer, all three of you could sit down and sing the doxology together, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And that's the testimony we should give to the world. Now, verse 7, "Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Now, actually here, let me give you my translation, because I think it should, instead of being here, us, it should be you. Notice, "Wherefore receive ye one another, even as Christ also received," not us, "receive you to the glory of God." You see, God receives man on the simple acceptance of Christ, both strong and weak, high and low, Jew and Gentile. Now let both the strong and the weak receive each other in fellowship. The glory of God is the supreme objective. Man said, "Why is it that you're rather critical of the Pentecostal viewpoint, and yet some of these brethren are very friendly towards you? In fact, you're invited to speak in their churches. How is that?" Well, I said, the reason is they got more of the grace of God than I have, and they recognize that, as one of them wrote me, I think I shared an excerpt of his letter. He said, "We agree on too many things to let one or two things separate us." And that is the thing, I think, very important, that we need to recognize that we differ on some things, but if we agree on the major things, that's all important. "Receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God." In other words here, God just receives man on the basis of simple faith. And I need to recognize that this other man, he disagrees with me on certain things. There's certain people that disagree with me on this matter. I don't think that tongues is a gift for today. Some people do. But I see no reason why I should fall out with some of them because of the fact I just pray they're going to see it as I see it someday. And the very interesting thing is that one of these days when we're in his presence, all of us are going to agree. Did you know that all of you folk will agree with me? Every one of you is going to agree with me in that day. And you know why you are? Because I'm going to have to change a whole lot of things also. All of us are going to be changed into his image and in his likeness, and then we're all going to agree. Now, in view of that fact, we better magnify the places where we agree today. Now, listen to Paul. He says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, 'For this cause I'll confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name.'" Now, this is amazing. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he came into this world as a minister of the circumcision. And his ministry was confined to the nation Israel. He very frankly said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's Matthew 15:24. And in Matthew 10:6, he said to his apostles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then we are told, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we'd see Jesus. And there were Gentiles, Greeks. Of course, those that believe, those Greeks were actually Hellenes, which means they were Jews who were out in the Roman world in that day. And probably it was that. In other words, when he came 1900 years ago, he came in this capacity. Why? To confirm the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God says, from your loins, Abraham, I'm going to bring one. It'll be a blessing to the world. And he had to come that way, to be a blessing to the Gentiles, you see. And for that reason, we're told in Luke 2:21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Friends, he couldn't be Jesus unless he was born in the line of Abraham and in the line of David, and unless he followed the law. They called him Jesus after he circumcised. He was brought up that way. He came to fulfill the entire Mosaic system. We're told, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Salvation came to Israel through Christ in confirming and fulfilling the truth of the Old Testament promises. By this method, salvation is brought to the Gentiles. The Gentiles' only claim was upon the mercy of God. No promise was ever made to our fathers. I do not know who my father was way back yonder in the beginning of the forests of Germany and over in Scotland. I do not know what his name was, but I do know this. God never made any promise to him. He made no promise to my fathers, but he did to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, Christ came to confirm the truth of the promises made to the fathers of the Jews, but he came that the Gentiles might obtain mercy. And this, the Gentiles, are to glorify God. I thank God the gospel came years ago to my ancestors. And it was only by the mercy of God. They were not outstanding. They hadn't done anything. Now, we're told here, as it is written. And you notice how many times he uses that. As it is written, for this cause I'll confess thee among the Gentiles, sing praises. And he quotes here two from the Psalms. One is from Deuteronomy. One is from Isaiah. The quotations that you have in this section from the Old Testament. Now he says, verse 10, and again he said, rejoice ye Gentiles with this people. Now this is from Deuteronomy 32:43. This is from the law, you see. And it's the end of the song of Moses. And verse 11, and again praise the Lord all ye Gentiles, and laud him all ye people. And this now is from the 117th Psalm. The briefest psalm there is in the scripture. All is used twice here. Praise him, all ye Gentiles. Thank God for that. Verse 12, and again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse. He shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. You see, the word came to us. Paul's writing to Romans, and the Roman church was largely a Gentile church. Our churches today are largely Gentile churches. Now the God of hope, he says, fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is, as it were, a benediction. Now this actually concludes the doctrinal section of Romans. And the believing heart, I think, finds here the rock of ages. That's the shelter in the time of storm, the God of hope. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now, that's what Romans should do to you. I hope this study in Romans has given to many of you joy and peace and strengthens your faith, and that has brought hope into your life and power, my friend. Now, that brings to an end the doctrinal session. Now you have the continuation of Paul's personal testimony as apostle to the Gentiles. You remember he began this epistle in a very personal manner in those first 17 verses. Now, he leaves the doctrinal section. He picks up that personal note with which he began the epistle. And that was his desire to visit Rome. Back in Romans 1:10, he says, "Now at length, that I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." Now listen to him, verse 14. "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, able also to admonish one another." Now, I think this is one of the loveliest things. Paul is offering here a gentle apology for his frankness and boldness in speaking to the Romans in the doctrinal section. It was not because they were lacking in goodness and knowledge, but rather because they possessed these qualities, and Paul was able to be explicit and talk to them about it. Isn't that wonderful? That's the reason he gave us Romans, so that he wants to talk to us about these things. That's the reason we ought to live in Romans more. And it's the reason we've spent so much time in Romans, because we want to understand it the best we can in order that we might have fellowship, you see. And Paul's being very humble, very sweet about it all. He's not lording it over God's heritage here. Now he says here in verses 15 and 16, "Nevertheless, brethren, I've written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that's given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit." Now, Paul says here, "I wrote," that means this epistle. And it means that he's writing it right now. He's explaining the fact of his boldness. He's reminding the Romans that he was the apostle to the Gentiles, and on the official basis of this God-appointed office, which came to him through the grace of God, he's exercising that office in writing as he did to the Romans. He's ministering to them, and it gives weight to the inspiration of the writings of Paul. Paul says, "I am the apostle to you Gentiles." And he adopts the language of the Levitical priesthood, temple worship, in describing himself as a minister preaching the gospel. And the Gentiles are acceptable, apart from law or any religion, through Jesus Christ as preached by Paul, sanctifying. Notice this. The Holy Spirit indwelt the Gentiles, beginning with Cornelius. And the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit begins with Jew and Gentile, the moment of regeneration, when the Spirit of God takes up his abode in the believer. And Paul gave the gospel, but God gave the Holy Spirit when they believed. And it must be kept in mind that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles in a very special sense. And he offered up the Gentiles as a high priest, making a sacrifice upon the altar. It's difficult for us today to fathom the full significance of all this. And yet Gentiles have entered into all that this applies. And my friend, if you've never thanked God for Paul the Apostle, you ought to right now thank God for Paul. God gave him to us. It's the reason we ought to read Romans. We'll leave right off there and pick up there again tomorrow. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Our study of Romans has been great, hasn't it? We've been taking it slow, but each day there's so much truth to be pondered. If you'd like to listen again to this study in Romans, then visit ttb.org and stream or download the whole series. We're committed to getting God's Word into your heart, so we make the digital files available for you to download anytime for free. Or if you'd prefer, you can pick up the fully loaded flash drive of the entire Bible Bus. You'll find it in the online store at ttb.org. The Bible Bus flash drive also includes all of Dr. McGee's e-booklets, by the way. Dr. McGee mentioned his set, Reasoning Through Romans, today, and that set is no longer in print, but you can likely find Dr. McGee's commentary on Romans anywhere Christian books are sold. Now, over the years, many have appreciated having Dr. McGee's notes and outlines alongside their Bible when they study a particular book of the Bible. Well, you can download those notes and outlines by the book by typing into your browser, ttb.org/, and then followed by the name of the Bible book that you're looking for, like ttb.org/Revelation. Now, we've added a new feature. You can get them all in one resource called Briefing the Bible, which is the compilation of all of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines. Briefing the Bible is available in two free formats, a printed book, or you can download a digital version for free. For either version, just go to ttb.org/briefingthebible and follow the instructions to either download the free digital Briefing the Bible or fill out the form to request your printed copy to be mailed to you. As always, if you need help, just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. If we can help you find the TTB resource that's right for you and maybe how you prefer to listen, then please get in touch with us. Email BibleBus@ttb.org or give us a call. The number again is 1-800-65-BIBLE. We're back on the Bible Bus tomorrow. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be sure to save you a seat. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.